From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Plenty to cover today. We're going to spend a majority of the hour today with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. And before we get to content with Carla, I think I'm right on this. What, 89 days to Election Day? And I'm going to do my very best to remind you every day that I'm on this show how many days, because there's some people that are not registered to vote, that, you know, they intend to vote. But in order to vote, you need to be registered. And I could go find the link for you, but I did a search on Google today. And whether it's, you know, through a local website or a federal government website, you can register to vote online. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to make it. I'm trying to squeak. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be a squeaky wheel, and it's for all of our benefit. And I'm not telling anyone how to register or how to vote. I'm just saying, register and vote. There's a huge election coming up in November that's going to, you know, have a great impact on our nation, as did the last 4 years. So. Now, a bigger impact on, and listen, because I hear you, a bigger impact on our nation is the work that the Lord is doing through various organizations, through churches, through people, and he is on the throne. And you need to know that that's primary for me, as you listen to the show, and I regularly host it. And that is, yes, it is the thing. He's also given us an opportunity to live in a country that gives us the freedoms to do what we do in way of participating in government. So, and what happens in our neighborhoods and in our states and counties and country. So 89 days is plenty of time, but, you know, nothing like the present. You know, if you're not registered, maybe just do that search. How do I register online? You will find it. I have every assurance that you can get that done. And if you are already registered, just the commitment, you know, have it front of mind when you have opportunity, take the time to vote. Now, as far as the urgency of what's going on in America, many of you have either already heard from Eric Metaxas, maybe when he came to Calvary Church in this last year, or maybe you read his latest book, Letter to the American Church. That film is going to be shown at no cost. It's a free event this coming Monday night at Calvary Church in the Plex. And you're invited at 6:30 to come out and watch Eric Metaxas and several leading conservatives, these conservative voices of today, explaining how cultural Marxism has taken over America, including the church. It's a film that's a wake-up call to the church to stand up and speak out against the evil that's manifesting in our country. The cast in the film gives practical examples on how to take action and turn our country back to freedom, liberty, and ultimately God himself. We're going to have the folks that are going to be presenting that in studio with us on Friday, along with information about Get Out the Vote training. So a lot of that happening here between now and November, man. We're kind of dialed in, and part of that is having Carla Sontag in, who always has great information and a lot of research you've done, Carla, and showing up at meetings, and I'm looking forward to spending the hour with you. How have you been?
I've been great.
We were going to try to get together much sooner, and I know we did spend a little time. We recorded a segment a while back, but good to have you in for the full hour, and looking forward to covering some of the things that you've been a part of. One of the things to look at, and I'm actually looking at the notes as we prepared for today's discussion, is looking at, you know, you could almost say this when you're talking about our federal government as well, but who is running the state. Now, if you just ask that, people are going to assume that the chief executive in the roundhouse is running the state.
Right, you would think.
So what are you finding?
Well, excuse me. What we're finding is that there's a lot going on with her agencies. Now, maybe she's given them the power to do this.
Now, are these the non-elected, agencies made up of people in non-elected positions?
Correct. Some of them are appointed. So you're talking cabinet-level positions that she's appointed directly. But then we're also seeing action being taken in agencies below that, mm-hmm. where they're not cabinet level. And we're seeing things that we've not seen before because they are establishing rules and procedures that are things that normally go through the state legislature. And they're taking it upon themselves to do it, to put it into effect without any legislative oversight. So it's interesting, but also very dangerous to see this happening without oversight.
Well, how is that okay? How is that all of a sudden okay to do and to bypass the legislature?
It's not. And, you know, then when you look at what's happening, for example, the Air Quality Bureau, they are looking at increasing fees on permits in the oil and gas industry by 500%. And they've decided that they want to hire well over 100 new people in their Bureau. Well, that is completely a legislative issue. The legislature should be deciding what the manning or person level is and how it's funded. And so then we question, because they never justified why they need 100 plus more people.
Oh, did they justify the 500% fee increase?
That was to fund the positions.
Oh, okay.
And so we're just sitting here. Well, they're talking about maybe 140 new hires to do what? What do you need them for? What is their role in life? And how is that going to impact everybody else in the state? And then the other thing is, when you increase budgets like that, at some point, it's going to come back to taxpayers, because oil and gas in particular, we always talk about this, it's cyclical. It's going to downcycle. They're not going to be asking for as many permits, but they're still going to have the staffing that's been increased significantly.
Right.
Well, who's going to pay for it?
They'll lay them off.
Well, we'll still pay for it, because yeah. then we're going to pay for their unemployment.
I even say that knowing that, no, that, you know, once, yeah. once you know, my buddy or relative has work, then...
Yeah, once they're in government.
That's the thought. I'm not saying that's what they're doing. I guess I might kind of be, but, you know, you have to wonder. You have to wonder.
Right. And then I got a call yesterday from a state senator. This already went into effect on July 1st. The Construction Industries Department, some agency underneath them, put in some rules, went into effect July 1st. So commercial construction.
Okay, Construction Industries Department. Is this a new department? Is this something that's been around a long time?
Been around a long time.
Okay. But again, is it filled with unelected, appointed people? And does that change from administration to administration?
It does. Often the cabinet secretaries are replaced. Not all the people below the cabinet secretary may be replaced. So you may have people that have been there for 30 years.
So this is a cabinet position?
Well, it is a division underneath this cabinet position.
Gotcha.
So we're not sure who's in charge and who's taking
this
the lead
is the whole,
on that.
Yeah, the whole point of this segment is who is running the state. But I interrupted. So passed and implemented the following rules that went into effect on July 1, 2024. Shall we walk through those?
Well, in the construction of commercial facilities, they've now got to provide at least 5% mm-hmm. of their parking to provide charging stations for electric vehicles. And they have to make sure they've got all 8 different types of plugs. I didn't realize there were so many.
And somehow we were able to manage going somewhere to get the fuel, whether it's electricity or fossil fuel, that we need to run our vehicles without making it part of a mandate in new construction.
Exactly.
So now, yeah, it's and you know, listen, I don't know enough to agree or disagree, although my first inclination is, well, somehow we managed without having a gas pump outside of my place of business.
And we still do. If you have a gas-operated vehicle, you go get fuel where you need to get it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and if you, you know, are, well, I know that they're trying to mandate EVs, but if you've chosen, and, you know, some people really enjoy their EVs, you know, there's opportunity for people to take care of that at home, mm-hmm. or other places that are already available to go and charge.
Right. It's just interesting how we're, again, picking winners and losers. You know, if you want to have an electric vehicle, that's your option, your choice. And if you enjoy it, good for you. I think that's great. I think free markets should decide what we invest in, what we buy, because it's the individual's choice. It shouldn't be government dictating to us what we're doing here.
But this commercial, under commercial instruction, the Construction Industries Department has essentially mandated that commercial construction, any new commercial construction, must include 5% of the parking areas for charging. And so I'm going to guess if they have five, but they need eight types of chargers, then each one may have. Okay. And someone is making money there. Okay.
Yes.
And another on the residential construction.
Yeah, this one is a real kicker, because what they're saying is that the home has to be electric and gas. You can't just determine that you want to have gas appliances because it costs less. You must have it plumbed for electric as well. But you've also got to put in an EV charging station in the home, and which is another mandate.
They're not putting an underground gas tank.
Exactly.
If someone develops a car running on, you know, water or hydrogen, or is that next? You know,
it could be. But you know what's really challenging? Anybody that had a building permit that's already started building, they may be pretty much finished with construction. They're not going to get the certificate of occupancy until they've complied with this.
Okay, and then, right. So if you're already underway, you may have to backpedal and make this fit before, you know, they come down on you. Now, here's a question. Okay, not only is who is running the state, why do we share this with the public? Is it just so we can go, well, that's not cool? or is there action that can be taken by the listener to address either these bureaus or departments or what?
Yes. So the proper thing is for this to go through the legislature, which brings us back to how you started. Elections. Every one of our legislators is up for election this year. Some of those races were determined in the primary, but there are still a lot of races that are contested. And what we need is more legislators that truly understand what's going on, so they can address this in January and say, you know what, you're not going to surpass our power to provide the balance of the branches of government, and we need a say in this. So this is why the election is so important, because we may have appointed people doing this, but we still should have oversight by our legislators.
Yeah. By the way, November 5th, Tuesday, Election Day, which, by the way, is 89 days away, if you haven't registered. That's not just a federal election. There's going to be a lot of local things on the ballot. And between now and then, especially whether it's with Carla and the New Mexico Business Coalition, or for example, Paul Gessing joins us for an hour tomorrow from the Rio Grande Foundation, or information maybe when we have Jody Hendrickson from the New Mexico Family Action Movement. We're going to try to do our best to equip you to be an educated, informed voter, because we're assuming that you're going to vote.
Yes.
On November 5th, 89 days away. So that's a kind of a good look at that whole topic. Well, who's running the government? Is it these departments and bureaus, or reach out maybe to your legislator and ask them about this. Is this something it's not something they did.
But they should have oversight, yeah. And it's going to take their proactive approach at this in January when we go back into session.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation. In studio with us, Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, Better Together New Mexico. We're going to come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. We want to invite you to join us again on tomorrow's broadcast. I already mentioned Paul Gessing is going to be on the broadcast tomorrow. And then on Friday, a few things. We'll have information about the next biblical citizenship class that's going to be getting. There's one just wrapped up last Monday. It's really that core group of people that's putting together the Eric Metaxas Letter to the American Church film, a free viewing Monday night at Calvary Church in the Plex. They'll be on with us Friday, along with the Get Out the Vote training that's coming. We'll get our Heritage Foundation update, which, by the way, if you didn't hear last week's update from the Heritage Foundation, you know, there's a lot of talk going around about Project 2025. And I will admit, I have not read all 900 plus pages, but I did spend about a half an hour going through. And essentially, my understanding is, it's a mandate for leadership is the book that's been out for like 40 years, and it's always made available to whoever is you know, ending up in the White House. It's put together by the Heritage Foundation, a plethora of authors. Let me say, whether it's that or, you know, there's so much out there, whether you're hearing it on this show, I would encourage you, like we do with the Bible, search out the truth and you know, when someone says something theologically, right, don't we as Bereans go to the Bible and search for the truth and see what the Bible says? Don't take everything you're hearing, and I'm going to tell you, including on this show, do some research on your own and find out if what you're hearing is truth. But whether it's, you know, I brought up the Project 2025 because last Friday we had a segment with Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation that covered, you know, essentially what it is, to try to clear up some of the misnomers. But, you know, it's a document that the Heritage Foundation offers to whoever may end up in a high executive, the White House, and there's actually been governors that have asked for a copy of it to look at things and how they might consider governing. It's just information, and it's been available online. Project2025.org. Go read it for yourself, and you can go to abqconnect.online and listen to the conversation we had last Friday. I guess I'm trying to just encourage you to think and not let someone just tell you something and take it as gospel, no pun intended. We are spending the full hour today with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, and we started with some of the things that are happening because of whether it's a bureau or a department of appointed people in our state government that are making decisions that typically would go through legislation, and it's not. They're bypassing that, and it's having an impact on business and individuals. So we would encourage you to do your due diligence to figure out what's happening there and communicate with your representative, which, by the way, Carla, how would you encourage someone who's well, I'm not sure who my representative is or how to reach them.
Hmm. So you can go to the Secretary of State's website and you can put in your address and find out all of the people that represent you. And I would encourage you to do that. We've got that link on our website at the New Mexico Business Coalition. We're going to have a ton of resources for you too.
That's NMBIZ, NMBIZ coalition.org.
Right. NMBizCoalition.org, and you can go under the election tab and you can find links to the information that you need. And we are going to have a world of information for you about the candidates. We're going to have ratings, how they do for business, and they are based on their votes as they're serving in office. If they're a candidate having not served, then we have provided a questionnaire or survey for them to complete. So we try to make it as objective as possible, and it's based on our priorities, which are also posted on the website. So you can see where we're going, why we look at these issues for business. If business is doing well, the state will do well because it brings in the tax revenue that we need for our roads and our hospitals and emergency equipment, and it takes care of us where we don't have to pay so many personal taxes if business is doing well here.
Well, and part of what impacts business is crime. That'll be our next topic. Let's jump into that. Carla, there's been a couple of town halls. I'm assuming you maybe didn't make it to the one in Las Cruces, but you brought, was some of the information you brought from that meeting?
Well, she's had three, Las Cruces, Albuquerque, and Santa Fe, and I attended personally the one in Albuquerque, showed up an hour early, and they said if you go early and you get seated in the front, you'll get to speak first. People that were kind of managing the whole event.
Okay.
Turned out
I don't mean to dig, but who is that? Who managed it?
Yeah.
Was it?
On her staff, I guess, that she provided. So they were watchdogs over the whole event.
By the way, I guess I do mean to dig.
Well, it was interesting to show up. I have gone to a lot of events like this. And this was the most awkward that I've seen, the most uncomfortable. There was half, or I would say a third of one of the three sections filled with police. That immediately put me on edge that they felt they needed that much security. But I also wondered, why are they all sitting in the auditorium with us and not out in the parking lot watching people come in?
Did they participate?
No.
Yeah.
They did when the protesting started.
Okay. No, but I mean.
But they didn't speak. No.
Yeah. And they were just, instead of standing the perimeter or what have you, like you'd see, I mean, even, at different churches I've gone to, you'd see, well, there's the safety team.
Exactly. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. You disperse the safety team in the parking lot, the lobby.
They had almost looked like a cheering section.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they weren't on the streets enforcing laws.
Right. Awkward. Well, maybe they were told they'd have a chance to speak too. I don't know. But you were told you'd have a chance to speak if you're up in front. How'd that go?
It didn't.
Yeah.
It did not. And normally what they do in a case like this, they either have signups for speaking or they have you line up physically. But instead, they had two people roving with microphones.
Okay.
And they did not start in the order that they said they would. So me showing up an hour early had no bearing on anything. The whole event was disrupted probably five or six times.
Now, whose meeting was it? Whose town hall was this?
It was the governor's.
Okay, you were there an hour early. What time did she get there?
She was late. She was about a half an hour late to her own party.
Okay. Did she say why?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Which?
I don't know. To me, and now listen, I know that you get out in traffic and stuff happens sometimes. Yeah. I understand that. But it also, it also, to me, speaks to how important something is to someone when, and again, I don't know what happened, but I'm asking the question, what happened? We don't know.
But if you care, if you show up late, you apologize.
Yeah.
And offer something to the people that have been sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah, what is it? If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So at any rate, what happened? What was addressed? They were there to talk about crime.
Yeah, so this was a crime town hall in Las Cruces. So I understand 500 people showed up, and she sat there and listened to them until they had finished. Everybody got to speak. And they spoke about crime. But in Albuquerque, we had this protest, and it was all planned that they wouldn't stand up in unison. They would disrupt one by one.
What were they protesting?
They were protesting Israel.
Oh.
And supporting Hezbollah and Hamas, the invasion and Hamas. Yeah.
Okay.
So for those of us who love Israel and support Israel, that was uncomfortable. But what was worse is, they would just let them stand there and scream for a very long time. And then the governor would finally say, okay, I'm going to give you 30 more seconds to finish what you have to say.
About crime.
Uh-huh.
But they weren't talking about crime. Yeah,
they were not.
It sounded very dysfunctional. Long story short, because we have more to cover. Did anything get handled at the Albuquerque meeting?
No. And the sad thing is, there were some people there that had heart-wrenching stories about loved ones that they had lost. And they were focusing...
From crime.
From crime. That they were focusing on the crux of the problem. When New Mexico started this downhill spiral into a crime crisis, it was because of the bail reform, what we call the revolving door for criminals.
Uh-huh.
That's what they were talking about. Their loved ones were all killed by repeat offenders who were out on the street who should not have been out on the street. And that's what we should have been talking about. There were a few of them that spoke about that, but there were people that talked about rent control, abortion rights, supporting the invasion of Israel. There were some that stood and said they've got mental challenges and they need the governor's help. It just went on and on. There were no guardrails over what we were going to discuss. There was no time limit. Some people spoke for 20, 25 minutes. And it's so disrespectful to all the other people who would have liked an opportunity to speak, who could not.
Well, okay. Well, we can hope that you want town halls, but you want them, organized in a way that they're efficient and the issue being discussed is addressed and ideas are considered for the future. Okay, so that was kind of a bust. But Las Cruces, they had their meeting and it went a little different.
They did. There no resolution came out of it from the governor. And so Las Cruces, they've got the same kind of crime issue that we do. Plus, they're closer to the border. So they're getting fentanyl and everything else coming across the border. That's a problem. So what they did was their chief of police spoke and said, I would like to institute some measures that will start addressing crime in our communities. And he went to the city council. This was after the town hall.
Now, is this a lot of the shopping cart stuff?
Yes. There were a couple of measures they brought up.
Because of time, we're up against a break. Let's take a break and come back and cover some of what the law enforcement in Las Cruces had to say. It was kind of interesting to see some of the suggestions they had, but we'll get to it. We're visiting the full hour with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition. We're going to come back with our conversation right after this on ABQ Connect. All right, we're spending the full hour with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbizcoalition.org. Better Together New Mexico, spell it all out, .org. And we left off with what was going on with the town hall in Las Cruces and pertaining to crime. And so what you were saying, Carla, was that Was it the police chief or the sheriff? Someone in law enforcement brought the city council ordinance information that has passed in Las Cruces.
Yes, it was the city police chief. He realized that the state wasn't going to take action soon enough to protect the people in his community. So he came up with a couple of ideas on where to get started addressing crime locally. And the city council adopted and made these ordinances in the city. I am so proud of Las Cruces for taking action to protect their people.
And some of it, now I'm going to assume that they are, just by seeing what they did, they are connecting homelessness with crime.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what they're doing is dealing with, now, and I've thought this before for a very long time, when I see, and let me start by saying, I'm sympathetic to people's plights. I am, and I also know that everyone has a story. Some of their stories are malarkey,
mm-hmm.
okay? And some of them have real hardships.
Yeah.
I don't know what their story is, but when I see someone with a shopping cart, I'm making the assumption they didn't go ask permission to take it from whatever business they took it from.
Right.
And I'm not going to try to guess what the value of them are, but they're not inexpensive.
Right.
Especially when you're losing them, you know, by the dozens or, you know, however many. But some of the things that they dealt with was that it dealt with shopping carts. I don't know, you know, how much or little you want to share about that.
Well, the interesting thing, they require the business owner to take some responsibility and find a way to attempt to secure the cart so they can't be taken off property. But they also know it is going to happen. And so they give the business owner some options about implementing things that will prevent the wheels from turning at a certain point,
right.
Which is
like,
good.
Like, kind of like a geofence.
Yes. Yes. But they also know it's going to happen. So when it does, they have come up with a plan that they are going to prosecute as a petty misdemeanor. And they give people who have committed this crime of stealing the cart the option of doing community service, which includes and is not limited to counseling and or treatment for substance use disorder and or mental health treatment. Now, this is one of the things that the governor was looking at in her plan, but it takes it in a different direction, gives the people a choice, and so they would not be prosecuted for that petty misdemeanor, but they can get help. And so they are seeing a connection between these people a lot of the times, and we're not trying to throw a broad blanket over everyone.
Yeah.
There is a correlation between what is happening with the carts, what is happening with the people, and what their personal issues are.
Well, and with businesses. I mean, I'm not going to go into specifics, but I saw a local business who I'm acquainted with them. I know the owners. And you probably saw it in the news where there was a homeless person outside. And when they were confronted by one of the managers of the business, the homeless person punched him in the face. You know, now that's not to say that that's going to be the case every time, but there was also, the reason I bring this up is that there was some stuff brought up for businesses in Las Cruces about how to, you know, the owner's responsibility for posting things outside the business that would put someone in a position if they are soliciting outside the business or inside the business, that they would be violating the ordinances that have been set up by the city council in Las Cruces.
Right, and that also addresses public streets, which was another thing that was on the governor's list of things to do, because what you see is with the panhandling, they are sometimes putting themselves and others in danger.
Yeah.
And so the police chief is looking at how can he protect their life, the life of the person living on the street,
and
the others.
And I'm glad you brought that up. These people have value.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many times I've seen someone, not on a corner, but on an island, you know, in the middle of the intersection, and it concerns me. Tell me, and I know it doesn't happen every day, but tell me you haven't seen a light signal laying on its side because something happened in the intersection mm-hmm. that caused an automobile to take it out.
That's right.
And I know that anything can happen. Someone could be going on the with the crosswalk when they're supposed to, and just stuff happens at intersections. However, if you are abiding there, essentially, you're putting yourself at such high risk.
Right.
And they're, you know...
So he's looking for some common sense approach to taking care of this. And the city council agreed, and 4 out of 7 voted for these ordinances. And, you know, if you go back to the shopping cart, compare that to what happened in Albuquerque. Our police chief threatened to sue business owners if he found their cart somewhere off property. That's not working with the community. That's not working with the business owner for solutions.
Well, that's... penalizing the victim.
Yes.
Of a crime.
And we have a lot of that going on in Albuquerque with this mayor and this police chief. So I just applaud what the city council did along with their mayor. They have a different structure for their mayor and city council than Albuquerque, but they got it done. And they're looking at a way to work within the community to not demonize business, as we see going on in Albuquerque, but to help everybody and to start taking a little bit of a bite out of the crime situation by putting up some guardrails.
All right. Well, listen, we're up against a break again, and still to come on today's broadcast as we finish the hour with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. We've all heard about the millions of dollars to fund an abortion clinic in Las Cruces. Am I right to think that was a unilateral decision by our governor?
Yes.
Okay. There's more happening along that vein. We're going to cover that. And we're also the Heroes event. Now, we'll have good news. The Heroes event's coming up. We've let you know about that on past shows, but we'll have all the details about how you can applaud local heroes and support those heroes and families when we come back from the break. That's after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. We're visiting with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. And, you know, our next topic, I teased it before we went to the break. We're going to talk about, you know, a reminder that our governor allocated $10 million to fund an abortion clinic in Las Cruces. Now, listen, I think we can talk about abortion and what's happening in our state, and it's real easy to get callous to the reality of what's happening. And I want to thank Ethel Maharg for the work that she does with Love Life. She's out every Saturday doing a prayer walk, and she can get together with your church to do this. And they're non-confrontational. They don't even intend to make contact with anyone. They simply are walking around a clinic praying mm-hmm. once a week. And I remember asking her, you know, well, how many abortions are happening? You know, she said they figure about 20 a day at one clinic. And think mm-hmm. of how horrified we all were about a missile that came, and we should be. A missile that hit a soccer field on the Golan Heights and killed 12 people, most of which were children, mm-hmm. And that's horrific.
Yeah, it is.
And we should be just as passionate about what's happening at abortion clinics. Human lives are being ended, they have little to no defense. And now we have people that have been voted into office that are spending millions of dollars on what they call women's health care, which, I haven't personally done the research, but I've had people like CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque in here that assure me that, you know, what's happening at abortion clinics is abortion. Primarily, if not, you know, else. So $10 million to fund an abortion clinic in Las Cruces. Now, I hadn't even heard of this, but now there's more money being spent. Now, is that being allocated again? Is that a unilateral decision by the chief executive in New Mexico?
Apparently it is, or could have been buried in the budget. But, you know, she has a lot of discretionary funds. So I don't know where she got the money, but she's got $400,000 that she's using to advertise in Texas for those people to come here for abortions. You know, she coined the term aborturism. She wants people to come here for an abortion and then tour our state. So she's combining tourism with abortion. And it's just nauseating to me. We have got a beautiful state and we invite people to come and visit it and enjoy it. But that takes it to a whole new level.
And let me say this real quick, because I was pretty emotional and worked up maybe a little bit about babies being killed, which, okay, justifiable. If you're listening and you're caught in that situation where you're trying to make a decision about keeping a baby or not, let me encourage you to reach out to CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Now, listen, whether you're in the midst of making that decision or maybe you already made that decision and the baby's gone, there's a loving group of people that are ready to counsel and spend time with you. And I want to, you know, let's remember that the people that have gone through this, they're having feelings, most of them now, that they never would have anticipated prior to having an abortion. And what they need is the love of Christ, not condemnation. And that's not what I was trying to do. What I was talking about was people who are helping people do this. You, if you are in that situation, you are loved, and there are people that want to show you options. Provide free care, and that's carenetabq.com.
Yeah, that's very important, because people that have had to make that decision and been confronted with that, it's not easy.
Yeah, and I want to thank them for the work they do, not only in that area where you can go get an ultrasound, no cost. All of this, there's a cost, but it's not paid by the clients.
Right.
CareNetABQ.com to find out more. And actually, they're getting ready for their walk. So you want to go to their website and find out about that at any rate.
But what we're talking about here is not to condemn anyone that has made that decision. We're talking about the governor using taxpayer money to start a business promoting that and going to another state to promote it, when this is a personal individual decision and it is not a topic of fun. And to turn this into aborturism, to me, is appropriate.
It looks to me like the goal for the advertising in Texas you mentioned is at luring healthcare professionals to New Mexico so we can get more of this done.
Exactly. But she's also advertising for clients as well to come. And if you didn't know, New Mexico is paying expenses, travel, lodging for people to come and have abortions here.
It's a money-making deal. It's monetarily, I'm going to guess that it's worth it for them to do that. Because of the cost and how much that these abortion clinics make. I mean, they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
Now, we've got just a few minutes left, and I appreciate all the insight into what's going on in our local government. Let's talk a little. Let's lighten it up.
Yes.
We got some good stuff.
Get some good news here. So October 3rd is our annual Heroes event, and it is such a wonderful event where we will honor a veteran of the year We also honor all the veterans that are in attendance. And then we'll honor the unfortunate loss of two fallen first responders. We invite their families to come and just to honor them and to show the community, surround them with love.
So are you still looking for business sponsorships for this?
We are, business and individuals to sponsor the event, because here's the thing. The proceeds go to two really amazing causes. One is to the 100 Club. We make a donation to them. They are the people that show up first when we have lost somebody and give money to the family to help them get through that time. The other is scholarships for the children who have lost a parent who was a first responder. And we have a whole list of children. So we collect money, we set it aside so that when they reach the age that they can go to college or to a trade school, it doesn't have to be college, however they want to further their education beyond college, then we have scholarships set up for them. That's where the proceeds go from this event. So it's a wonderful, touching event for very good causes.
Hey, this is going to sneak up on us because I'm already talking about the election in 89 days, and this is prior to that.
Yes.
This is like, you know, more like 50-some days away. October 3rd, 6 in the evening at Crown Plaza, and all the banquet information and everything you need about sponsorship or whether you're going to get a table or whatever you need to know is found on the website at nmbizcoalition.org, nmbizcoalition.org. A quick question, Carla. Are you registered to vote?
Absolutely.
Are you going to go vote?
I never miss an election, even on a local election when I think it doesn't matter.
Especially on a local election, right? Yeah.
Even the little elections really matter.
I'm going to continue to say it. Especially the local elections matter. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel that much more than you might feel what's happening in Washington, and that's very important as well. 89 days. I'm going to do my best to remind you almost daily.
Yes. And tons of resources on our website at nmbizcoalition.org, and biz is B-I-Z. We're going to have candidate interviews posted there soon where you can hear from the candidate live. So I would encourage you to go check back often. It's going to take us a few weeks to get those interviews up, but check back often and make sure that you know who you're voting for. We don't tell you who to vote for, but get registered and do it.
All right. Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation on the broadcast tomorrow. Carla, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.